Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have another guest that I got introduced to from my friend Bill Pollard, who I know as Funny Car and F3. And Bill texted me, and he's like, dude, you got to talk to this guy. He just ran this really awesome race out in Utah. And I was like, well, I love Utah. So I thought it was a great idea. So he introduced us, and this is kind of my first time actually chatting with Trent, although I think we may have bumped into each other since we're both 757 runners. So without further ado, let's welcome in Mr. Trent Doro. Trent, you ready to go for a little run?
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having
All right.
me.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, family, all that good stuff.
Yeah, happy to. So I'm born and raised in Virginia Beach. I'm a 12-year survivor of Norfolk Academy and went away for a couple of years for college in Syracuse and didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. So ended up in Colorado for a couple of years as a ski bum in Vail. And then came home in the early 2000s, 2002, and have been working in the technology sector since then, both for a Cisco reseller, for Cisco Direct, and now back to a Cisco reseller. So I have a family of five, three kids, two boys and a girl, ranging in age from 15 to 10. That keeps me pretty busy, and that's been something that I constantly have to juggle, although it gets easier as they get older, but have juggled throughout my running career, my short running career, I'll say.
That's awesome. Wow. So I, you know, it's so rare to actually talk to a Virginia Beach native. That's amazing. Norfolk
Lots of
Academy, huh?
transplants, lots of transients, but yep, born and raised and spent most of my life here.
Yeah, and then you tickled my heart because everybody needs to go to Colorado and be a ski bum. I mean, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. So,
I would agree. I would agree.
yeah.
I don't think my mom was too happy after 12 years of private school and 4 years at Syracuse that after all that education, I was going to be a ski bum in Colorado. So, but it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, I grew up in Colorado and became a ski bum in Colorado and Wyoming and Utah. So I went to a year of college and said, you know, I really don't want to pay for this. And so I was like, I'd rather pay to go skiing. So I became a ski bum for a year and then joined the military and ended up here in Virginia Beach somehow. Something about the Navy said something about water. And I don't know why they sent me here. So who knows? But that's awesome. So now, were you a runner or anything like that in high school or growing up?
I was not much of an athlete. You know, I was always very small for my age. I was definitely one of the two smallest kids in my class for many, many, many years. I was a late bloomer. I ran cross country in maybe 9th, 10th, 11th grade, more so just to put on my college application. I did not take it seriously. You know, coach said, go run 30 minutes and come back, and we'd run behind the building and then walk for 20, 25 minutes and come back. So I didn't really take it seriously. And then just really started running passionately in 2016. You know, full disclosure, I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict, and I got sober in 2012. I was starting to get a little healthier before then, but really, you know, in 2016, I got bit by the running bug and it kind of took off.
So how did that happen? And congratulations, that's 12 years sober, right?
Yep, exactly.
Congrats. That's awesome, dude.
Thank you.
Well
Thank
done.
you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
So how did you get caught up in the running thing?
Yeah, so I was working for a company and they sponsored a 5K, and there were about it was the inflatable 5K in 2016, I want to say, Labor Day weekend out at the field house.
Okay.
And there were about 20 of us. There were some young bucks straight out of college that were kind of smack talking a little bit. And again, I'm not a speed demon. You know, if we talk about any of my race times, I'm definitely not fast, but you know, I was starting to get in shape and feeling healthier. And you know, out of a group of 20, I was second or third in the group, and the kids that were, I say kids, the kids that were talking a little bit of trash, I was able to dust them. And I was like, that was kind of fun. And that was Labor Day. And then we were having a Halloween party and somebody was talking about the Wicked 10K the next day. I was like, that sounds fun. Maybe I'll go do that in the morning. Well, oh, you have to have a bib and all this stuff. I said, I'll just show up. I'll figure it out. And I showed up and somehow finagled a bib that morning from the race
Awesome.
director. and ran it, and it just progressed. I went into 2017 with a New Year's resolution of running a half marathon. So I ran Shamrock half, cold, rainy, windy half. And I remember my sister was biking. She's much more of the athlete of the family and was following me along the course on the beach cruiser, especially on the coming down the north end. She cheered me on and I got through the finish line and I'm going through the corral and I'm getting my medal and I'm coming out the other side and she's on the other side of the fence going, "That's awesome. When's your next race?" And I was like, "Oh my God, I just finished. Can I enjoy this?" Well,
That
about an
is so
hour
funny.
later, I was at home sitting on the couch with my laptop open.
There you
And so, I'd finished my New Year's resolution in March, and I said, "Hey, maybe I can run a full by the end of the year." So I ended up running Richmond in the
go. Okay.
fall,
Cool.
Richmond full. So
Yep.
that was my first full.
That's awesome. And then did you, I think I saw that you ran Seashore that year. So you
So
said,
then the
okay, I've done
next.
a full, might as well jump up the next brick.
No, it wasn't that year. I might be getting my years mixed up, but so it was, the 5K and the 10K in the fall, and then the next year was Shamrock Half, Richmond Full, and the next year was a full and a 50K. I'm not sure
Wow.
what the full was. And the next year was like a 50K and a 50 miler. And then we were slated, then I was starting to set my targets on a 100 miler, and
Okay.
then it took a couple of years before that one got finished, before I was able to check that one off.
There you go.
And I think COVID was throwing a monkey wrench in there at the
Yeah,
time
COVID
as
was
well.
fun. That is awesome. So, what was your first 100?
It was CNO, well, first and only so
Okay.
far, CNO Canal up in
Awesome.
Harper's Ferry. So a
Okay.
lot similar, along the towpath like the JFK is, but
Right. Just a
it's
bit
all
more of it, yeah.
towpath,
Yep,
all
cool.
towpath.
And
So
how'd you do in that one?
I finished.
There you go. That's the
That's the
best thing,
goal.
isn't it? There you go. That always is the goal.
About 28 hours. So I'm fortunate that I have some really close running friends, and we start and finish. We try and start and finish together. If there are days where one person is just feeling especially strong, hey, go for it. But then usually the other ones will, stick together. So in that particular day, Amber, who's one of my closest running buddies, she pulled up at about 91 with a sore knee. So we walked in the last nine.
Okay.
But again, we got it done. My goal is not about speed, it's about getting it done. Somebody explained
So
it
is
to me, and I feel this way. I race marathons and I run ultras.
love that. I love that. So is Amber Mizuki part of your running
She
gang?
is. Yep.
And who are the others
Yep.
in there?
Tim Price, he has kind of dropped off. He's got a new gig that keeps him physically active, so he doesn't log as many miles. So I'd
Okay.
say Amber is probably my number one running buddy. I've logged more miles with her than anybody. And then my sister, she was a sprinter and a hurdler in college, so short distance. And then she had run some halves and fulls in her 20s, but then when I started to pick up the longer distances, she's joined in as well. So
Oh, that is cool.
that's why we were in Utah this last
Okay. So
month.
Utah was her 50th birthday?
It was her 50th birthday, so this year she said, "Hey, for my birthday, I really want to run a 50 miler." And we've done an ultra 100K and a mountain masochist 50 miler before. So she had
Okay.
run the distance before, but to celebrate her 50th, she wanted to do a 50 miler, a destination. So she picked Moab and we went out there and did the Dead Horse Ultra 50 mile distance.
Yeah. Isn't that fun? That
It was
whole area.
awesome. It was
Yeah.
beautiful. It was
Had you ever
beautiful.
run on that type of terrain before?
I had not. I had been there when I was a ski bum in Colorado. Me and my girlfriend, now wife, had gone on a camping trip there. I don't remember a lot of the camping. I don't remember a lot of the trip because, as I said, I was still drinking and using then. So it was a fun trip, but
Right.
I remember some of the scenery, but not all of it.
There you
So
go.
I'd been there before, And you know, knew generally what to expect, the landscape, but had no idea what the what to expect out of the course.
Yeah, isn't that that turn where you go kind of up and behind the mountain to climb up into that? Is that was that your favorite part?
It was yes, that was my favorite, but it was also a steep section. So
Yeah.
that was a nice section because one of the things about the course that I found challenging when I ran Mountain Masochist, it was very obvious the downhills and the uphills, and they were very steep both directions. So you knew, at least the way I run, those uphills I was hiking and the downhills I was running.
Yep.
The Dead Horse Ultra, most of it was moderate enough where it was uphill, but you felt like it was moderate enough where you should be running it. And
Right.
on the way back to the finish line, I was like, "Can we just have a steep section, please, so that I know, like, so that I can get some power hiking in, not feeling like I'm, constantly going up a 2 or 3% grade." But it was beautiful. I mean, some of the most beautiful course I've run for sure.
Yeah, that whole area. I've done two races down there and I just love that whole area. It's amazing.
I
So
would love to
fun
go back
stuff.
and run another race there, but I also like to try different stuff, so
Yep.
I don't know if I'll go back there anytime soon.
Well, it sounds like it because you've done, how many times have you done Mountain Masochist?
Just once for Mountain
Okay.
Masochist. Yep,
And what do
once
you
for
think of
Mountain
that?
Masochist. Tough. Tough. A
Yeah.
different kind of tough. What I thought about Dead Horse was that it was such varied terrain. Every 10 strides or so. You might be 10 strides on flat rock, then you're 10 strides through like a little single track, dirt, rocky, then you're 10 strides on a more uneven rocky, then you're up. It was just ever changing. So I never felt like you could get in a good rhythm. Whereas Mountain Masochist, it was, like I said before, it was very obvious. There were steep ups, there were steep downs. It was still technical, it was still rocky at places. There were still changing terrain, but it was much, much more substantive distances of that type of terrain in one
Right.
segment at a time. So I thought the switching up of the Dead Horse was challenging in that aspect. And some of the Dead Horse too, you were, I won't say bouldering, but stepping up knee-high rocks to
Yeah.
stay on the trail. And when you're 40 miles in, that
It's
18
tough.
inch step up is feels like it's 3 feet. So,
Exactly. Exactly. What did you think of the slick rock at Dead Horse? Yeah, that kind of
what do you mean?
undulating the
Yeah, I mean,
when
I
yeah,
thought
that
again,
undulating where nothing's
yeah,
ever a flat, foot
right,
plant, and everything is just kind of
right. It
weird.
was beautiful. Yeah, exactly. And you went from that slick rock to then like a very flat table type rock to stepping up an 18-inch boulder to then more undulation to then like almost like a little 10-yard dip down and back up on a dirt single track. And then so just it just varied so much so quickly that it always kind of kept you on your toes,
Yeah.
literally and figuratively.
Great experience though. I can't imagine being out there. So did your sister enjoy her 50th birthday?
Oh yeah, she, I mean, and she crushed the race. So again, like I said, we try and stick together. That day was a little tough on me. I had GI issues, nothing
Oh, no.
major, and I've
Okay.
never had it before. Just the food wasn't settling right in my stomach. It was, I wasn't, nothing was coming out, so it was fine, but it just wasn't my day with, my tummy was upset.
Yeah.
And on the way out, because it's an out and back, although the back is a little different than the way out. But on the way out, she was strong, pushing the pace. Amber was sticking close to her. I was lagging just a little bit behind, but keeping up, but pushing hard to keep up. At the turnaround, I said, "You all go ahead. You guys are running stronger. I'm good. I was like, I'm good. I'm going to finish. But you're running strong. You go ahead." So I thought Amber and Ashley would take off. Amber ended up hanging back and finished with me. She's like, yeah, she was having a time stick with my sister as well. So Amber and I finished at about 11:09, and my sister clocked about a 10:40, so she had about half hour on us.
Well, 11:09 is a great time. 10:40 on Dead Horse is a man, that's a killer time.
nice of you to say. We were definitely in the, in the tail end of the pack, which is fine. Again, I don't race ultras. Like I said, it was to get it done and just enjoy it. And the sense of accomplishment that I receive just from setting a goal and accomplishing it is why I do it. But there were definitely some fast athletes out there.
Oh yeah.
Very,
Oh,
yeah. It was
every
a,
year. Yeah.
right. Yeah. So it was impressive. And I mean, I see them on the East Coast, but I just feel like on the East Coast, I feel like I tend to be more in the middle 50%. And in that race, I felt, and just looking at the runners around me, that I should be and was going to be more in the 75,
Yeah.
percentile range.
I'm way the same. We lived in Wyoming until 2020 when we moved back here. And when I ran races out west, I was always in the back of the pack. And then I move out here and I'm like, I didn't get any faster. I mean, I'm still slow, but I'm like in the middle of the pack all the time. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. 'Cause, then I go back out west to run a race and there I am back in the back of the pack again. I'm like, okay, this either they grow them different out there or I don't know what it is. The mountain air, who knows? But
Yeah, I don't know,
it's
but yeah,
crazy.
I think that yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if yeah that again I've spent enough time in Colorado that I know there's just that more. Stereotypically, the population is more active.
Yeah. So are you running Seashore 2 weekends, 2 weeks from now?
Always,
There you go.
always.
Cool. And I was looking at some of your times. You've laid down some pretty fast times at Seashore.
I could not break through that 5 hour mark forever, and I finally busted through it.
So,
But
yeah, because
then I dropped back above five. Yeah.
I mean, because what's your best times? What, a 450 something?
448, 449, somewhere in
Okay.
there, I think. So
That's
yeah,
awesome. And what
I
year did
felt
you do
really
that?
strong that year. That must have been 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
I
All
came
right.
off Marine Corps and had a PR at Marine Corps and was just feeling strong that year. And again, that was just one of those days where I wasn't running with anybody. Yeah, that was just yeah, I wasn't running with the friends. I took off pretty early and just was feeling good, feeling strong. I hooked up with two guys on the way out of the second loop, and they were and I did not look at my watch once. I didn't want to know. I just knew I was doing pretty well, and I remember running out Cape Henry the second lap behind these two guys and trying to stick with them, and they started chatting about where we were on time, and I literally was running behind them with my ears covered and watching their lips move until they were done talking, and then I pulled my hands and I said, I don't want to know the pace. And they're like, oh, what are you shooting for? I said, I just want to break five. And they're like, oh, you're definitely on pace to break five. And I knew
That's
I
awesome.
was. I stuck with them to the furthest point of Osmanthus. And then as they kind of made that turn, I started to lag. I finally looked at my watch at the 26.2 sign. I was like,
Right.
okay, all I got to do is run 20, 10 minute pace coming in, and I'll crush my PR, and that's kind of what I ended up doing. I hit, I won't say I hit a wall, but that's where I really dropped off at about 26.2 and just kind of got it done those last
Yep.
couple miles.
That's
So
awesome. That is awesome. So you're gonna lay down the speed again this year or what?
I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I don't know what's wrong with me right now, but you never really know until race day. So I just show up and see how I feel. I mean, I had New York Marathon November 3rd, Dead
Oh,
Horse
wow.
November 16th, and I'm not putting as many miles as I have been. I've been in the gym a lot more this year. I don't know what it is. I don't know if my recovery. We'll see how I feel. I'm going to try and break five. What I say about running versus racing, running ultras, Seashore is the exception for me.
Exactly. Seashore is a race for
Because,
you, isn't it?
right, because it's local. I've run it, I don't know, five, six, seven times maybe. So, I know the course. It's local. I want to do better than last time. So, it definitely is more of a race for me,
Awesome.
which is good and bad because then I
Yeah.
don't always necessarily enjoy it as much or
Right.
enjoy it while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Once you get
Yeah.
done, you see the time, I'm sure it's got to be a great feeling.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Definitely.
absolutely. And that, like I said, that's really why I run is people talk about the runner's high. Don't you get a runner's high when you run? I said, not usually. I mean, usually it's the sense of accomplishment afterwards that I really seek.
That's awesome. So what do
Yeah.
you use nutrition hydration? What's kind of your go-to?
Scratch hydration. I like the sweetness of it. And I make it a little on the sweet side. I do Goos energy gels, but
Okay.
I really try and stick to whole foods if I can on the longer races.
Right.
So, pierogies, one of my Strava running groups of friends is the pierogi posse. So you
Awesome.
get the pierogies, and so I'm a big fan of small salted potatoes, like salted potatoes.
Yep, baggy and stick them in the baggie and go. Yep.
So that's what I'll carry on me. And then when I get to the aid station, it's whatever appeals to me. I don't like pickles, like naturally. I eat pickles occasionally, but I don't crave them. But when you walk up to an aid station, those pickles are calling your name, you know you need them.
Yep.
So I just
Cool.
let my eyes and my body tell me what to eat when I get to an aid station. But if I when I try and self-support, it's more through the Whole Foods with Goos as backup to
Okay.
supplement.
Okay.
So,
Yeah. I always tell people gels are filler. So,
right.
you eat real food because that's where you're going to get the most nutrition and, your carbs, your proteins are in real food,
Yep.
and your gels should just be a filler. It's just kind of to
Yep.
fill the empty space until you get to an aid station, and then
Filler
you dig
and
in.
sometimes the cat a little caffeine jolt. I'll use the Jet Blackberry that's a little heavier on the caffeine occasionally, and
Yeah.
Coca-Cola on hot days, and in ultras. Yeah, I'm powered by. I have pictures of me at New York. My family was there on the sidelines in Central Park, and I spotted them, ran up to them, gave them all hugs, and chugged about half a Coke and
Yeah.
kept going. So.
My secret weapon as it gets into the afternoons and evenings is to fill one of my soft flasks with Coke and just keep it up because it's also kind of fun, to that little squeeze of carbonation, kind of hit you. Yeah, when you gotta suck the Coke down, it's just that little, the carbonation. I love it. But most people think I'm weird. But it definitely
I'm
keeps me
just as
going, man.
weird. I'm just as weird.
That's right. It's okay to
Well,
be
but and
weird.
then when it comes to nutrition too, I think the funniest thing that somebody told me, which is so true, is like a 100-miler is an eating contest disguised as a foot race.
Very much so. Wait until you run your first 200.
Oh, sh
I just wanted to plant that thought for you there,
Oh,
Trent.
it's already planted. It's already planted. I mean, if I had, as my kids get older and more independent, when I first started running in 2016, let's see, I had a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old that I was leaving at home with my wife, and she wasn't always so supportive when I was going out for
Right.
3 and 4 hour runs on Saturday mornings. Now that they're much more independent, it's not as big of a deal. So, I need to get another 100 under my belt, but
There you
don't
go.
think a 200 miler hasn't been,
Swami 200, man. Back Bay down to Cape Hatteras Lighthouse and back.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
And
first 20 miles, it's on the
what's
sand.
a, oh, God, you're supposed to try and
Last
make it
20 miles is
appealing
on
to
the
me.
sand. Oh, it's a blast, man. You'd love it.
What's a time? And I
Well,
won't say respectable because
you've
I'm
got
not trying to
six
be
day, you've got 6
respectable.
days to finish it, but I would say that pretty much everybody except the really, really stout athletes do it in anywhere from 72 to 90 hours.
Got it. Okay.
So my two finishes have been both in 93 and 96 hours. So
Okay. All right.
I'm kind of right there. I'm the middle of the pack. So yeah,
Right.
not with the front runners.
I'm also a fan. If I'm going to do a really long race, I want it more of like a destination and different terrain than what I'm used to seeing or being around.
Like Florida
So,
200. It's from the west coast of Florida to the east coast of Florida.
okay, all right.
I'm just laying them out there for you, man.
I hear you. One of my bucket list is rim to rim to rim, and more.
Yes.
So I have a friend that did that a couple of years ago. They left about 6 o'clock in the morning and got back. I think he said about 10 o'clock at night. So that's one I want to do. And then I want to notch another 100, and above 100 is certainly not out of the cards either, but
Yeah,
I feel like I need
there
to
you
get
go.
those two under my belt.
So if you could run any 100, what 100 would you run?
Ooh, I don't know.
Like any bucket list hundreds?
I mean, it's crazy to think about it, but Leadville.
Right.
I mean, just starting at that altitude, just the challenge of the altitude and the elevation. And, while I respect just getting the CNO done, I would prefer a more varied terrain. I would love just to run a, something out in, I don't want to say Utah again, but, in that, either in the mountains or of Utah, New Mexico, or somewhere in Colorado. I don't want to create, I know Leadville has crazy, crazy elevation. I don't think I want that for 100, but I want something that is both beautiful, challenging, has elevation, has varied terrain, has some other elements to it. So,
Yeah.
okay.
And they've got a couple 100 milers that are very, very doable. They're on great trail systems and everything, but they're very, very doable. So, I mean, and it you're in Colorado, so I mean, you can't go wrong there. So, yeah. That would
And Colorado is a good home. My brother's retired. Basically, my brother's living my life in reverse. He's
Okay.
retired a ski bum in Colorado, very close
Nice.
to where I was living and working. So I've got, hookups out there, free places to stay and things like that. So that would be, a good destination for me as well. And give me,
Okay.
I could go out there and work remotely for a couple of weeks and acclimate and run something, which was a goal that I was going to do a couple of years ago, but things shifted in our lives.
Hey,
So,
life happens, man. So, what's kind of your go-to mantra, like when you get deep into that, pain, uncomfortable cave? Do you have like a go-to type of mantra or anything?
I don't think I do. I do have a little bracelet that I wear on race day that my daughter made for me years ago, and it says, it's not what I live by, but it says run fast.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily the fast part, but it's just the support that I have that's not visible. I look down and it's got beads on an elastic band, and so I'll snap that on my wrist a couple times just kind
Awesome.
of as a reminder of, one of the other reasons, I say I do it for a sense of accomplishment, but I'm also trying to be a good role model. And I try and
Yeah.
teach my kids through running. Sometimes I use these analogies. I was like, I know life's not all about running, but let me use this analogy for you. And I just try and tell them, like, don't give up. Just keep going. Just keep going. And it gets better. And when you've finished whatever that challenge is, you can look back and really be proud of it. And
Exactly.
so yeah, when the pain, I don't know if I really have a mantra. I just try and just keep moving. I just
Yep.
know that if you keep moving forward, you're eventually gonna get through it.
That's right. One step at a time, that finish line will all of a sudden appear and it looks so good. Yeah. So, yeah. That
I
is
don't know what it
awesome.
is, but I always seem to have a kick in the last mile. I mean, I'll lay down some of my fastest splits, with a mile or 2 miles to go. I
Yeah,
thought I was
my
gonna
wife
die
gets
at
irritated.
miles.
I'll run 24-hour races and all of a sudden it's the last lap and she wants to do it with me and I'm like, nope, I'm taking off. I don't know where I find it or anything, but yeah, it's fun. It's crazy. It's because it's the finish line and it's like you've just all of a sudden you come alive. I ran 6 days in the dome and basically I think the announcer came on and he said, we've been running for 6 days and he goes, okay, everybody, you're about to watch a bunch of zombies come alive because there's 15 minutes left. And I mean, and he was totally right. I mean, there were people there who had been running, 10 days and then, us that were running 6 days and all of a sudden all these zombies start moving really, really well. And it was like, it was so funny because it was like the slow death march, until that point and 15 minutes left. It's like, everybody in the arena got this burst of energy and it was nuts. So,
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, so let's
Like,
start kind of wrapping this up. Now you know I'm a crazy person, but so the
yeah.
name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So when you hear that, what's kind of the first thing that pops into your head?
So I think it's, I like it because I think of a kind of that double entendre, which is one, living, an ultra life, like a great, fantastic life, and one is living around ultras. I would say I try and focus on the first one, and ultras happen to be a component of living that ultra life. I've run ultras. They're part of my annual routine of at least running a 50K every year at Seashore. But really, I'm focused on living that good life, that ultra life. And whether that's taking care of myself physically through my sobriety or physically through my physical activity or just constantly seeking self-improvement. That's what I think about when I think about living an ultra life.
So I'll tell you where it came from. So I was out running a trail probably around 2015, 2016 in Wyoming. And it was a period of my life where I was trying to pick up the pieces from, a crash landing that had happened and, just trying to go, okay, how do I start believing that I'm worth something? And the how do I now start rebuilding life, and what does this whole life thing mean? And I came across this one sentence, and it's out of the Bible, but it's John 10:10, and it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, and I have come to give you life lived to the full. And I had just run my first ultra marathon. And or my probably first couple ultra marathons, and I'd fallen in love with the ultra running community because I'm not like the most, I tell people I'm basically a geek, a socially awkward geek. So I'm not the most gregarious guy out there, and the person that's got gazillions of friends. I have a few really close friends, and so, but I walked into the ultra running community and they didn't care who you were. They welcomed you. There are people that, these weird people at aid stations who were, you come cruising in and they're going, "How do I help you?" And I'm like, "You help me, one, can you, do you have a pair of legs, because," but I mean, it was just such an amazing community. And I was like, wait a second, I think I've actually found what a full life is, because a full life is something where you live it in community, you live it around other people, but it's not sitting there trying to crush the people around you. It's lifting the people around you up so that they have great finishes also. And I was like, that's what it, so living a full life is just living an ultra life. It's sitting there living life to the full, because you're not just going, hey, it's all about me. You're going, hey, you know what? I'm having the time of my life. Come along with me and enjoy this with me, because you're going to fall in love with this and you're going to be outdoors and you're going to meet these people who just accept you, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. And so that's where the whole thing came from.
I think that's, I think you hit it right on the head. And I've been fortunate enough to find that sense of community both in my recovery community, but also in my ultra community as well. And, one other thing that's on my bucket list that, running bu bucket list that came up at Dead Horse was being on the other side of that aid station. I have not
Amen.
done that before.
Yeah.
And, definitely something that appeals to me. I've done it a little bit. My sister ran UROC. She had to defer the year we ran it. And so I went out and helped her. And when I was at aid stations, I was helping incoming runners while I was waiting for her. And that, I find a lot of joy and satisfaction in being of service to others. And I think everybody does. I just don't think they notice that and go out of their way to seek it.
Yeah, I was telling one of my friends this morning, we were running the famous Mount Trashmore, and so we were running together, and he knows that I'm just about finishing up my ultra running coach certification, and he said, "So, what are you going to do with it?" And I said, "Well, my goal isn't to make money with this." I said, "Really, what I want to do is I want to coach people, but I want to coach whole athletes." And he's like, what does that mean? And I said, well, I don't want to just coach athletes to be able to cross the finish line. I want to coach athletes and encourage them to not just cross the finish line, but to help other people cross the finish line. Whether that means that you're at an aid station, you go crew, you go pace somebody. It's that sense of, okay, you crossed the finish line, help somebody else cross the finish line. And get that sense of it. And then I told him, and I want to be a part of, there's a lot of us out there who have had, troubled times in our lives, and somebody has always walked along and been that person to help you walk back into a full life, a whole life again. And so I said, that's the kind of coach that I want to be. And I said, I know I'll be a good, coach, because I know a lot of things about ultras and I study it, and I don't watch television, so I read a lot. But that's kind of the whole goal behind it is, let's be whole athletes. And part of being a whole athlete isn't just that finish line. It's also sitting there going, how do I help you? How do I sacrifice a little of my time and help you cross the finish line too?
You gotta give it away to get it.
Yeah, it's part of it. I think it's the best way to get things is to be willing to give it away. So,
I agree. You're gonna be a sponsor coach.
who knows? I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. It'll be fun. That's all I know is I'll have fun with it. So it'll be great. But hey, Trent, I am so glad Bill introduced you to me. It's been an
Absolutely.
absolute joy getting to know you a little bit, and thanks for taking some time, man.
Likewise, I appreciate your time as well. I appreciate the work you do and look forward to logging some miles with you, hopefully in Seashore, both on a random Saturday and in 2 Sundays as well.
You got it, man. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.